Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by the typical crew of professionals. And what's another name for guys who record this podcast with me? Eric.
Gadabout.
Okay. Mac, you got another name?
Studs.
And Mike Staley.
Delinquents.
That's what I was looking for. So speaking of delinquents, I'm watching the Knicks game here, and just kind of there's 2 minutes left, and oof. 2 minutes left, and I just fouled the guys. So I'll be a little distracted here, so bear with me. But we'll still endeavor to provide an excellent transition for you into your weekend. So let's get started. And there's a timeout on the floor, so I'll be able to focus a little bit more. Chief Justice Mike Staley, why don't you kick things off? Any news? I know there's lots of news swirling around the world, the verdict and whatnot. Anything you want to report?
Yes. Yeah, well, the past couple of days have been server issues. Now, what hair isn't turning gray is being pulled out at the moment. But we had originally planned to launch Black Friday, which was the day after Thanksgiving, and the site just was not performing the way it needed to. So we decided to put it off and work on a lot of the little things that needed to be fixed. And those have been going along really well until the whole thing crashed on us yesterday. So we're getting there. We're now set for January 3rd. Pencil that into your calendars. That will be the new launch date.
And again, for people who may not be familiar with all that the Daily Verdict will commandeer, I suppose.
Yes.
What are we looking at? I mean, we're not just looking at a new coat of paint here. This is a fundamental redesign and a shift in the way we provide content, correct?
Yeah, we are actually – this is changing everything from the ground up. So for the past 11 years, we've been pretty much doing a daily publication of just a morning dump of content. And we've added stuff along the way with podcasts and the upcoming releases calendar and whatnot.
But as we've always focused on our dumps.
Yes, yes. It's a thematic dump. But now we're shifting to a 24/7 model of a continuous flow of content that will go from, first thing in the morning till the end of the day, and you will see reviews, you will see news, you will see audio, you will see video, news releases, that type of stuff. And it's all done with a brand new content management system. So if you can imagine, the current Verdict is like a 56 Buick, and the new one will be a 2012 or 2011
Honda Insight?
Yeah, Honda Elantra, maybe.
No, I'm trying to go for something better than that.
The Kia Rio?
The Cobra or,
yes, the Shelby, the Mustang Shelby. Cobra, yes, I like that.
Bugatti,
I drive an Elantra.
Okay. Well, dependable. We want dependable, but we want flashy. So you're going to see a whole new look, a whole new feel, but it's the same great content, just delivered in a much more professional, a manner suiting the quality of the content to which we all.
That's a nice shout out to the staff. I like that.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, yeah. So I've seen some glimpses of the design. It definitely looks super sexy. So that should be a lot of fun. And I know it'll make the life easier on the back end, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be messing around with code and all kinds of
God, yes.
Biggity whack stuff. So.
Yeah. And this is just the start. I mean, we have a lot of other things planned. So, once the earth stops shaking and everything kind of settles down, we'll start playing with some additional features.
All right. Very good. And have you anything else you want to report on? You get any cool screenings or you've been out to see anything up in your neck of the woods?
Right now I'm supposed to be at a question and answer session with Nicole Kidman, but I have come down with a third head cold in a row, so I decided to opt out tonight.
Was it a one-on-one or like a group?
No, it's a small group. The Screen Actors Guild, which I'm a part of, offers these conversation series, and she's got a new movie coming out called The Rabbit Hole. So they have gotten her to give about 2 hours of her time to just sit with other actors and answer questions and talk about her career. So those are always very cool things, and I wish I had the opportunity to take advantage of it, but I don't feel like sitting coughing, next to somebody while other people are trying to speak.
Well, we appreciate you fighting through the illness to sit with us.
Of course.
Yes, very good. All right, how about you, Eric? What's happening?
Oh, well, first off, I'm going to pencil in the rabbit hole as a future sleazy-sounding DVD release title.
That's pretty good.
Because I know. Because I know when that hits DVD, that's my answer. No one else can take it, I call it. Well, I haven't been to any screenings, Dave.
Too bad.
Just here in the, you know, the Finger Lakes region of New York, driving my Hyundai Elantra. It's not flashy, but it's dependable. I think it's time for a little old news with Eric Ashby.
Yes.
Watch the movie that I heard about. I never seen it. I don't know that's necessarily a must see movie, but we caught the movie Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sure.
AKA the movie that allowed Robert Zemeckis to make Back to the Future. So good. So it's certainly good from that perspective. I think up until then, no one was really interested in his script. But then that movie was a hit. Romancing the Stone was a hit. And so then he got to make the movie that is awesome. But yeah, Romancing the Stone, Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, sort of a romantic action movie, very much owing to Indiana Jones. Although it's not nearly as good. It's a weirdly paced movie. Have any of you seen it before?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you've seen it.
Lots of times, yeah.
All right, so
I like the movie. It's a lot of fun.
So I'm the last person. Yeah. So this really is old news. But yeah, it's weird because they do have some kind of thrilling action scenes, but it takes a long time to get there. They tend to do the same things over and over again. There's a lot of escaping the bad guys by crossing a river that the bad guys can't cross, and then they finally get to like the actual treasure hunting stuff at the end, and which kind of what should be the meat of the movie ends up being like 10 minutes at the end, and then it just kind of jumps to the finale.
Which includes a dictator getting his hand chopped off by an alligator.
Totally. I mean, this is a sort of a classic 80s PG movie. It's got like full
yes,
nudity right. for Kathy yes. Turner and Michael Douglas. It's got gore. It's got alligators ripping people's hands off. This is totally
like graphically. I mean,
flirting,
yeah. Bones exposed, right? Yeah, and then he dies in a pretty brutal way. I think he catches up, right. He's set on fire and then he falls to the gate.
Yes. I mean, it's a weird little movie, but it is. I mean, it is fun. I mean, I'm glad I got a chance to see it. I don't know that we're gonna check out the sequel.
Yeah, I never did get around to Jewel of the Nile. Have you guys seen Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel of the Nile is pretty bad.
Is it a sequel? Is it like the same characters?
Yeah, yeah, it's the same characters.
Yeah, it's a full on sequel. Both Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito are all back for the sequel.
And didn't they like? It wasn't a sequel, but they all joined like War of the Roses, wasn't that? I mean, they weren't the same characters, so it wasn't.
No,
a sequel.
No, War of the Roses was different. It was the same cast, but a different story, different characters.
Yeah. It's always a fantastic movie too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always interesting when groups of actors go from movie to movie. It tends to happen around certain directors. I mean, like Wes Anderson has his crew. And
right.
Sorry. Oh, just hit a three. Tied it. 27
oh.
seconds left.
Oh.
Damn it.
Who are they playing? Who are they playing?
The Raptors and the Knicks. Are still have to hear from it from our Canadian a-hole brethren. So. all right. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your basketball game with my movie talk.
Sorry, continue.
But your old news.
My old news. It is old news. I mean, this is what Dave's talking about is cutting. You know, it's happening right now. 3 days.
That's right.
But
oh, unbelievable! Sorry.
No, Dave. Just tell us what's happening. Give us a play-by-play.
Okay, let me just tell you what happened.
Please.
Okay? I just have to happen real quick. Hold that thought, Eric. All right. So the Knicks are up by three, and then the Toronto Raptors guy who's been on fire. He's got like 39 points. He hits a three, and he ties it. So it is 113-113 and 26 seconds left. So we bring the ball up, and like the last second left, the Knicks shoot this Knicks guy, Raymond Felton, shoots a three and it bounces on the rim for like 3 seconds and dribbles in. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Fantastic. All right, continue.
What were we talking about?
I finished with my Romancing the Stone stuff and then kind of nicely segued into the Knicks. I think the only other thing.
How do you segue from Romancing the Stone to the Knicks?
Kathleen Turner's name begins with a K, and so does the Knicks. And Danny DeVito looks a little bit like a basketball. But that's about it. I think the only other thing we caught, because we've sort of in the search of a new TV show that we can watch that we have access to easily now that we finished up with Mad Men. caught the finally. It's talking about being way late to the party. Finally watched the pilot episode of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah,
which is really good. I mean, I'm that's no one is surprised by me saying this, but it was really excellent. Hopefully we'll continue to watch it. Although my wife did fall asleep during the episode at one point. So
now, how many seasons are they?
Well.
How many seasons did they churn out for that? Just like a couple? Because I know it bounced around.
I want to say
the direct
four or five.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, four or five. I think it's – is it still on or is it
– I think this is their last season.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't they switch networks or something?
Yeah, maybe. I've only seen the pilot episode. I'm the wrong person to ask. No, I don't know. They may have. I know they're certainly in trouble as one of those shows that was on the bubble and kind of brought back, I think, through fan
– right.
Fan efforts and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, this is currently their fifth season.
That's a pretty good movie, too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And the pilot episode has a lot in common with that movie, with one major difference, which I won't mention because it would be a spoiler for both. But, very very well written, very kind of stylish, very, movie-like. So it's always nice to see a show that does that. So,
well, and Peter Berg's behind it. So, I mean, that dude has some serious credentials that he brings to that.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Mac, how about you?
Let's see. Well, I finally made it out to the movie theater, found a little bit of time to go catch a movie, and I went and saw Harry Potter.
Okay, and?
Kind of felt like it was my duty, you know. But, no, I liked it. It was pretty good. It was...
We won, by the way. Sorry, we just won. Fantastic victory.
Good job.
You're talking
Thank you.
About the.
I have so many people to thank. What a fantastic game! All right, continue on, Mac. I apologize for interrupting.
See, it was Harry Potter. It was the magic made the game turn out in your favor? But it was a good movie. But it's very tonally different from pretty much the rest of the series. I thought it's easily the most serious of all the Harry Potter films so far.
I did hear it got. Nice and dark.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about dark, but I'm more like dramatic. Really? You know.
Now, you read the books, right, Mac? Did you read the books?
I bailed after the fifth book.
Oh, that's right. You've been following the movies. That's true.
That's right.
No, I've read all the books, and the seventh was probably my least favorite, just because there's so much wandering around and filling time while other things are going on with the kids. And I had hoped that the movie would find a new balance so that we'd take out some of the wandering and balance it with some of the other subplots that are a little bit more tension and a little bit more Hitchcockian. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they did a nice job, as Mac, I didn't mean to hijack your review here. They did a nice job of capturing that essence of things have gotten incredibly serious. This is a life or death situation, and they're kind of in the clock is ticking. The 24, model is being played out. And it has a Lord of the Rings feel because it's only, one chapter in a two-part story. Actually, a three-part story if you consider the last movie prior to this.
Right, yeah. Kind of an abrupt ending there, too. But,
yeah.
But I guess that's to be expected. But even though it was tonally different, there wasn't a lot of the humor and the wonder and the whimsy and all that. It was still good. There were a lot of good moments. A lot of great interaction between... our main three characters, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, something was a little bit missing from maybe the last two movies. And putting our main cast back in the spotlight was a really good idea.
And they're away from Hogwarts, so there's a lot more reality-based to it than there has been.
That's right. I was wondering if that would work, taking them away from the school, because that's such an integral part of the series. I mean, that's basically, the pitch is, kid goes to a school for magic. I thought it worked kind of, having them be on the run and having them, way, way outside their comfort zone.
And there's some serious kick-assery coming in the next movie. So, I mean, it's an all-out brawl at the end. So I'm curious to see how well David Yates is going to handle this.
How's the pacing of the movie? I always feel like these movies are just trying to cram way too much stuff in. I felt like the last movie felt like a 2.5-hour trailer for a much longer movie.
Yeah, well, and I think the advantage of having to be able to split this up into two films allows them to kind of stretch things out. You don't get that cramped feeling. Like Max said, it's very tonally different from the other films in the series where they did have kind of that compressed feel to it. This isn't overly long. You don't get bored like you know, staring at your watch going, when the hell is something going to happen? But there is much more room to breathe for these characters. And
there's a lot more downtime. In a way, yeah. I'm almost reminded of George Romero and his zombie flicks. Because, you know, some of the most interesting stuff in those movies are not the zombie carnage, but when all the human survivors are barricaded in and have to deal with each other, you know, boredom sets in over time when, you know, they're just kind of waiting in this doomed predicament. And we get to see kind of a little bit of that element in this film, too, in that, you know, we see our heroes on their downtime when, you know, they're just sort of in hiding and don't know what to do with themselves. And that made for a lot of interesting dramatics.
Yeah. So then, Mac, does the movie do what it, you know, goes out to accomplish and makes you interested in the second one?
I'd say so, because, you know, like I said, I felt the ending was a little abrupt and I was waiting for more movie, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes on that level. I just hope they can stick the landing now.
And we only have to wait 6 months. It'll be out in June.
All right.
Next year.
Like, so that means like a year from now we'll be able to watch all 8 movies in a row.
Oh, God. You can pretty much skip the first two and just start with Azkaban.
Well, I don't know about that. That was the other thing. This movie is filled with all sorts of call-outs to the second movie. It's like all
that's true. It's very self-referential.
Chamber of Secrets is like the linchpin to the whole series all of a sudden. I'm like, when did that?
You know, it's been a long time since I watched it, but 2 is actually one of my favorite of the movies. Not because I think that the story is great, but just the way it fits together. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the series as a whole. Movies. I love the books, but the movies never really worked for me kind of because of that compressed feeling. And it seemed like 2 hit the right balance of the amount of stuff and the amount of time they had to tell it. But it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I understand the dislike for it. But
okay, thank you for that. Thank you for that report from the theater. Let's see. Nothing much going on around here. Again, we're trying to play catch up on the summer movies. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but we finally got around to seeing Toy Story 3. Did I mention that? Yes? No?
So you were going to watch it.
Yeah. So I think it was like on the shelf. So we did finally get around to seeing it, and you know, certainly enjoyed it a great deal. It does get have you guys all seen it?
Yeah.
I love, you know, heading towards the incinerator, holding hands.
Yeeps. You don't see that in Shrek.
It's like, you know, part of me is like, they're not going to be burned alive. I mean, but, you know, that was just part of me. You know, it's like,
but wouldn't it have been cool if Pixar had actually done that?
I suppose that, you know, they get burned alive and then they get reformed into like a toilet seat or something. I guess anything was possible. No, it was a fantastic movie. So,
and if they actually had gone through with it and gone down the incinerator, like 15, 20 years from now, there'd be something called Pixar Syndrome that all these grown kids would be suffering from.
Like Agent Orange.
Exactly.
I mean,
Pixar traumatic stress disorder or something.
See, like, yeah, those like gruesome, grim director cuts of the beloved Pixar movies, you know, where it doesn't work out at all. You know, you know, where Nemo gets you know, fried at a Burger King. And
Nemo ends up in the kitchen from Ratatouille.
That's right. So, anyway, excellent movie. On the shelf now is the Mike Judge film, Extract, which I look forward to, but it just kind of disappeared. So I'll be interested to see what that's like. Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck's in that. Mila Kunis, yeah. So I'm wondering if it's Office Space-like or not. So
it didn't quite generate that type of buzz.
Yeah. So I'll be interested. I'm wondering what it, you know, I like. Now, the cast certainly appeals, so we'll see. So that's the next one that we need to take a look at. I always end up buying more stuff for myself than anybody else. You know, like, you know, all the deals on stuff. Like, I bought a show I think I've talked about that I've wanted to get into, and I watched the first episode and liked it, but we just never got around to continuing through it with Sons of Anarchy, the FX show, which I heard good things about. So I got the first season on Blu-ray. It was on sale for $17. I said, well, I got to give that a shot. So I'll be looking forward to check that out. So, but I know I guess it's got a pretty good following and it's pretty well regarded.
Well, and I think I still have rough cuts of season 2 sitting here. So if you want those, I could send them over.
It's fantastic. Beyond that, and again, another shout out. I've said this ad nauseum, but Fringe, I still think it's probably the best show on television. Huh. Another fantastic episode. although it is being pushed to Friday, so God help us all. Yeah.
Well, X-Files did all right in that slot.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully. I mean, it was getting crushed on Thursday, and that was just – it was a setting up to fail. Type, you know, 9 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yeah.
So hopefully it brings its, you know, its cult following with it and does okay, because it really is getting good. Unfortunately, it's getting into very much of a season-long arc thing, so it's one of those – it'll be tough to get into it if you're new, you know. But I really can't recommend it highly enough. It's just fantastic.
Now, Dave, do you think that Fringe would be a better show if it had teenage gymnastics, or if Make It or Break It would be a better show if it had supernatural elements?
Man, can't they both have those? can't we win at both elements, you know? And then, yeah, I mean, and then you call, like, Fringe would be called what? Frizz, I guess, right? So they all do their gymnastics and do their hair and grow together. Speaking of Make It or Break It, when's that coming back?
I don't know. I know Pretty Little Liars is starting back on January 3rd.
Pretty Little Liars.
You didn't get into that one?
I never got into it. And where's the Make It or Break It disc set? Are they coming down the – they just
know.
Got
I'll
the season one.
Disney. Yeah. I know. ABC Family and find out.
Missing out on some excellent publicity. You know, I will treat them well.
Well, you know, as part of the new Netflix deal with ABC and Disney, Make It or Break It is one of the shows that's coming to Instant Watch, Dave. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I can go back and relive all the moments.
You can go back. We could do commentary tracks.
That'd be great. Yeah, boy.
The active word of being could, I suppose.
Could, yeah. And all those 10 views, those 10 page views that would center. Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about what we've been doing for the site. So, Eric, why don't you start off?
Okay, this week I'm reviewing a BBC made-for-TV biopic called Lennon Naked. This is a big a lot of John Lennon stuff going on right now, yes. Obviously, with the he would have been 70 this year, and actually the day we're recording this is the 30th anniversary of his death. And so this is a it covers basically from 68 to 71. Christopher Eccleston from Doctor Who plays John Lennon.
Oh,
and
really?
it's not that good. Unfortunately, it's very manic and it's very melodramatic. It's also highly fictionalized. They really made up a lot of stuff and changed, kind of made up scenes between, John and his wife and Paul and some other stuff. So kind of every scene has this really over the top dramatic, like serious feel. I mean, I think he was supposed to be the funny Beatle. And he's kind of completely humorless in this. And it also really comes at it from the perspective of kind of psychoanalyzing his relationship with his father and, the fact that he was sort of abandoned by his parents and what that did to his relationships with people around him and with the press and all this stuff. So it's kind of a chore. I think that if it wasn't made by the BBC, if it didn't have Christopher Eccleston, it wouldn't we just kind of feel like a Lifetime movie.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Or whatever the Beatle equivalent of a Lifetime movie would be.
A lot of Yoko action?
There is some. And the other kind of weird thing about the movie is that so the John Lennon character is really the only one that gets any kind of development. His father is in it, and you kind of get a little bit more of him. But everyone else is just sort of kind of there as, set just kind of, props. The guy who plays Paul kind of plays him as a sort of vapid frat boy type for some reason. And Yoko has some stuff to do, but mostly she just kind of like just stares out of her mane of hair or whatever. So there are some good performances. I mean, Christopher Eccleston does a very good job. There are scenes that take the Lennon naked title very literally. So if you're interested in that, it's there. I'm not for that reason, but I'm kind of surprised this is actually apparently shown on PBS as part of their like contemporary masters series, and it just seems like the only reason they would do that is because it's a BBC thing, because it doesn't really seem like it's of a high enough quality to be part of a masterpiece theater type of deal. But anyway, it's if you get it on DVD, it doesn't come with any extras, so I guess maybe track it down another way if you're interested still. But
well, I'm sorry, I saddled you with the turkey.
I'm interesting. I mean, I really do like the Beatles, and I just recently got a John Lennon Best of collection, and it was on sale on Amazon. So I was curious to check it out. It's just so kind of over the top in making things up that doesn't quite work. But it was interesting to watch.
Yeah, not bad.
Mac? I don't blame you, Mike, is what I'm saying. You send me whatever you want. You know,
nice. This is the season of forgiveness.
It is. Oh, wow.
All right, Mac, what do you got?
Well, I am in between reviews at the moment. I'm also an editor here at the site, so we can give a shout-out to some of the folks that I'm editor for. Tom Becker recently reviewed Night and Day with the new Tom Cruise flick.
And I will say we did watch that last night. How was his review?
He was fairly positive about it. He said it kind of had an old-school Hollywood feel.
I really loathed it.
Oh, really?
I hated it.
Does that come from a New England perspective?
I don't know. It comes from it did nothing for me. Maybe you know why? Maybe because Killers, you know, the Ashton Kutcher, Eagle abortion that I suffered through. Maybe that just ruined spy and plucky blonde screaming girl teaming up together facing down killers, you know. But this one, yeah. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, but the question is, you know, is it the movie or is it just, you know, Tom Cruise celebrity backlash?
See, Tom Cruise, I liked. I don't really mind. I mean, I know he's goofy, but I don't really mind Tom Cruise. Just the whole setup was just predictable and kind of like, I don't know, just not a lot made sense. And then I think Cameron Diaz is about as entertaining as Poison Sumac. So maybe I'm...
Jeez. But if you want to tie in the whole Romancing the Stone thing, it's kind of a modern update of that.
That's true.
You know, getting sucked into this world that you didn't know existed. And then
I guess that's a pretty good spin.
I guess the argument is not so much modern, but sort of a deliberate throwback to movies like that.
True, too.
Yeah, whatever.
And let's see. Also, Jen Malkowski and Daniel Kelly both reviewed the new Twilight film, Eclipse. They had their fair share of the criticisms about it, but they both seem to agree that this one was a step in the right direction. There were some improvements.
That's what I've heard as well.
A little bit more action in this one, a little bit more humor. So they actually got me a little curious to see it. You know.
Oh.
I gave up after the first Twilight, but I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll see this third one, maybe.
Nice. Mac is going to be Team Jacob. I totally could call that. Right.
See, now I think this would be right up Dave's alley with the whole Vampire Diaries thing. Family, Vampire Diaries. You
know. That's right. Maybe we should have a separate vampire page in the Daily Verdict.
Just dedicated
or maybe
to
vampires and gymnastics.
There you go. We need to write a screenplay.
I'll just generate content for that one page for you.
Vampnastics.
Vampnastics. There you go. Bite takes flight. No. Continue on, Mac.
Those are the only ones I've got, but
all right. You
know, just food for thought there from some interesting reviews.
Good editor you are.
Very good.
All right. Now, you've had a couple reviews pop up, Mike.
Yeah. I've been trying to work my way through some things. I did Thunder the Barbarian. I am now up to my bionic eyeball in the entire complete series of The $6 Million Man, which, sweet mother of 70s TV, is awesome. Now, I watched it. The early stuff, it originally came about. It was a made-for-TV movie. You want to talk about a Lifetime movie? That's pretty much what the original movie was. It was this, you know, test pilot who had a horrible crash and how he, you know, worked his way back to health and happiness with the help of this nurse and these bionic limbs. So the bionic and the action-adventure stuff was played down to nothing.
Oh, wow, interesting.
You had this Lifetime made-for-TV boring, boring, boring movie. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And then there were two other movies that followed, which, now keep in mind, this was right at the same time that Roger Moore started taking over the James Bond role. So all of a sudden, it was like Lee Majors is the American Roger Moore in these next two movies. I mean, literally, from like turning the tuxedo into a wetsuit and diving underwater kind of stuff.
Did he dress up as a clown and fight Soviets?
No.
Nah, that's a shame. So they retooled? So then they just retooled on the fly? Is that what
they did? Then they got Harve Bennett, and Mac probably knows that name because he was involved in the movie franchise for the original Star Trek crew.
He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and he was really the key. So when the ratings came back on these first three movies is pretty decent. Freddie Silverman, who was the head of ABC at the time, came to Howard Bennett and said, hey, we want to make this a series and we want you to do it. He's like, okay, cool. He said, great, you got 6 weeks to put it together. We're on the air in 6 weeks. What? So they did. They threw this first season together in like 6 weeks. And the first season is very hit and miss. And once you get into season two, it settles into the classic format that we're all familiar with. So now I'm picking and choosing certain – just there's just so much to go through. I can't possibly watch every episode to write this review. So, you know, like the introduction of Jamie Summers as the Bionic Woman, the Bigfoot episodes, John Saxon as the evil faceless robot kind of stuff. These are these kind of classic moments in the series that I'm going through and trying to pick some of this stuff apart. And it's just – it's a time capsule, man, between the clothes and the attitude and the music, and it's just – but it holds up. It's just as interesting to watch today as it was when I was a kid, so good for them.
Lee Majors used to live up in Rye, New Hampshire.
No kidding. That's where my brother used to live.
In a ridiculous house on the coast. It looked like a – I don't know what it looked like. It looked like an overturned moccasin or something. It was this giant tower of a house. So it's like where they kept – dissidents from the Rye Town Council or something, you know? They locked him up there. But
I'll tell you, he was the shit. I mean, he had his stuff together, and he was swarthy, and he was confident, and he just oozed screen presence throughout this entire series. He had, you know, the world by the balls with this thing, and this role was just perfect for him.
Nice. All right. Well, gentlemen, I'll give you a choice of which movie you want me to talk about. Vampires Suck, the new Jason Friedberg Aaron Seltzer parody movie, or The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation?
Dog.
I say dog. I vote for the dog.
Dog. Eric, you're the tiebreaker. I mean, you're the – I guess you can't. There's nothing you can do.
Well, I mean – I think we should talk about the movie that really captures the warmth and joy of the season.
Yes.
So Vampires Suck.
You got it. I'll do both. You win. You both win. Vampires Suck is – yeah. So again, we're familiar with the Friedberg Seltzer colonoscopy that passes movies.
These are the date movie guys.
Date movie, epic movie, just yeah. Unbelievably off.
You know, Friedberg Seltzer does not have the ring of Zucker.
No, it is Zucker. Not. It is not. It is, I mean, it is just awful. So it's all like cultural references and just cheap, hacky stuff. But, you know, this Vampire Suck is essentially like, I mean, it's just a Twilight movie where they do beat-for-beat retellings of sequences with just little... You know, like stupid non sequiturs thrown in, like, oh, the Jersey Shore cast, you know, all of a sudden shows up because for some reason, I guess it's funny. And then, this guy gets into a fight with a guy in a wheelchair, which is always good for a couple laughs. So just, you know, just really awful stuff. So Vampire Suck is, it's the Blu-ray is called Extended Bite Me Edition. So there you go. And it's extended by like a minute 20 seconds. So that's enough for the unrated version, I suppose. But, you know, just a clock. Unfortunately, Ken Jeong, who's awesome, obviously, in so much stuff, especially Community, disgraces himself here. So that's unfortunate. And then we have the Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation, rather. Paris Hilton and Mario Lopez offer their voices.
Together at last.
Yes, together at last. Dean Cain plays a thief. And I don't know. What can I tell you? It's... I think it's an ABC Family movie, so you'd think I would love it, but nope.
And this is a sequel, right? There was one that was
Dog Who Saved Christmas is the original one.
Right.
And then Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation, so I don't know what's left.
The Dog Who Saved Christmas, I think, right? Because they're following the National Lampoon's model, right?
I think so. So, yeah. So just not very great.
It's kind of a step down, isn't it? You go from saving all of Christmas to just saving Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So what are you going to do next? Save the Dog Who Saved Christmas lunch break? Yeah. And also, speaking of Christmas, a shout out to a little surprise that Mr. Michael Staley sent my way, the classic TV Christmas collection.
Oh, man, what a train wreck that thing
was. It's a collection of shows that no one gives a crap about.
It's like they pulled all the stuff out of the file cabinet and threw it onto a disc.
Who here is dying to see the very special Christmas episode of Veronica's Closet?
Oh, boy.
Paired next to a 1960s Richard Chamberlain Dr. Kildare episode.
Dr. Kildare.
What?
Thomas Family. Welcome Back, Cotter. Perfect Strangers, which is the only show. I guess, you know, Chips has one. Alice, where they all just for some reason they spend Christmas in a tractor trailer with Al the cook. A whole disc is devoted to the two-part Eight is Enough Christmas special.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Nicholas, there's a Santa Claus. Blow my brains out now, please. Suddenly Susan is in here, so...
How many discs are there in this set?
Four discs.
Oh, wow. 17 episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
The only thing missing here is, like, the very special Christmas episode of My Dad is a Dog. Do you remember that show?
No.
That was an actual... I don't know if it was just a pilot I caught, but it's forever torched in my brain. It was a sitcom about a family, and this guy does the voice of a dog in a sitcom. It's like this meta thing, and then My Dad is a Dog. So that's the gimmick. He does this voice for a dog in a sitcom.
You know, there are
maybe Dad's a Dog. I don't know, something like that.
You know, there are an awful lot of Christmas episodes. I mean, basically every show has a Christmas episode.
Right.
So they should put out like collections of these sets, but like by decade or by
right.
You know, because I mean, obviously Dave, you and I don't care about Dutch or Kildare, but Perfect Strangers right up our alley, right? So you do like an 80s, a child of the 80s right. One.
Full House, Family Matters,
totally. You know,
Saved by the Bell, Saved by the Bell. Wonder.
I mean, if you know, get
right.
All
the fantastic two parter where Zach takes advantage and dates the homeless girl. Totally exploits the situation and dates a homeless girl.
That's true. I think the only person who got a gift that season was Zach Morris.
That's right. And
gonorrhea.
He convinced his parents to let the homeless man and his hot homeless daughter stay in their house, in the Morris household. So a lot of tiptoeing at night from room to room. So anyway, I digress, but there you go. Classic TV Christmas collection, which is a big fat lump of coal in my mailbox. Thank you, Mike Staley.
Sorry, dude.
All right, let's move on. Mac, take us to our next level.
Sure thing. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. We're going to go to the cover art gallery for December 14th. And just talk about what interests and excites and tantalizes us on the list here.
I see the A-Team there, but I didn't see that in our product list, Mike.
No, in fact, the studios are really... And you know what? What really irks me is we were not worthy enough to receive the Inception Blu-ray.
Yeah, what's up with that, too?
Right. Warner Brothers said, well, due to the high demand, we're substituting and only giving you the DVD.
That's lame.
Here is my middle finger. Because we review everything else
that's right.
That they put out, you know, including the Christmas.
Yeah, who put out the Christmas set. One?
How many people reviewed that Christmas set? So it just bothers me when stuff like that happens.
I think the only other people who review the Christmas set are currently in Guantanamo Bay.
Biggest release of the holiday season, yeah. And you guys are not going to give us product to review.
That's
so.
Pretty, 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 pretty lame.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's so. That and what else? Like Despicable Me?
Despicable Me has not come in yet. Everything is coming in late, and I don't understand what the problem is these days, aside from the fact that I know the economy's hurting and the studios are holding back on everything. This is probably one of the most boring, uninteresting release schedules for a holiday season that I've seen in years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, normally we see great box sets and, you know.
That's true.
Yeah,
interesting
right.
Packaging and all that. Nothing.
Well, to be fair, with all those on the list, we have the complete series of 24 in a really nice box set.
Well, Fox is continuing to try something, so.
What else we got? We got the True Grit, the original on Blu-ray released, I'm sure, to coincide with the Coens.
Yeah, I just tried to call in while we were – I put the pause button on to try and call in to get a screening at the Paramount lot tomorrow night, but it was already filled up, so.
Mm.
And I don't know if this is a new release or just a reissue, but it's worth mentioning just because the movie's awesome. It's a Blu-ray for Hard Boiled, John Woo
classic. Yes, right. Yeah. Mike, did you have something? Yeah.
Well, did you guys see The Other Guys with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I did not. No. Nope.
Shine is kind of off Will Ferrell for me for now. After
I think so, too. Yeah, I'm with you.
What was the one about the basketball?
Oh, yeah. Ball,
Semi-pro.
Semi-pro, yeah.
After that, I'm like, forget it.
No, Mike, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Clark reviewed Nanny McPhee and said that it had to do with poop. The whole thing was poop related.
Excellent.
Well, that's what I mean. Nanny McPhee is obviously slang for poop.
Well, speaking of nannies, wasn't Mrs. Featherbottom from Blackstool?
Yes, she was.
Blackstool!
And today we got more Krav Maga for you on the list here. Ultimate Krav Maga.
We'll send it to us one of these days. Mike. I know it.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of those people.
That's right.
It's the advanced.
Before they get a hold of you.
Mike, this is not a Hanna-Barbera series I'm familiar with, but Goober and the Ghost Chasers, is that just Scooby-Doo?
Well, it's kind of a knockoff on – everything was kind of a knockoff on Scooby-Doo in the 70s right. and 80s. But it was good because the ghost – I mean the dog was actually a ghost. So
the dog was a ghost?
Dog was a ghost.
Wow.
That is the one thing that gruesome. Scooby was missing.
And he was scared of other ghosts. So anytime he got scared, he would disappear. Oh. It was actually a fun series. I think there was only maybe like 26 episodes total.
So apparently not all dogs do go to heaven.
No, probably not. No, some are
stuck on the earth.
Stuck in purgatory for the rest of
According to this, it's a 4-disc set. So, yeah.
Well, that was pretty much what Thundar the Barbarian was. And there's no menus. This is the Warner Archive thing. I'm glad that they're putting out these series that we have not been able to have yet, but there's no menus. There's no bonus features. The audio-video quality is varying, but you get them. You know, you get the complete series, so there's that.
They also have the Addams Family animated set on here, too.
To go along with what I hear is the horrifyingly awful Broadway show.
The soundtrack has started to grow on me the more I listen to it, but yeah, that was kind of a train wreck show.
Because I think, didn't we talk about the Spider-Man? We talked about the Spider-Man. Yeah.
We did. You know, it's funny. It looks like this DVD is the story on 60 Minutes, which I saw before the preview and thought, hey, that looks really awesome. Because I like you two. I mean, I like
that's right.
Music is by Bond on the Edge, and they like flatter on the stage and stuff. If it sucks, it sucks, but I don't know. It's funny that they're putting what was essentially a 12-minute segment out on DVD. I don't know what this is, but
oh, really?
Well, it wasn't the entire episode, I don't think.
Okay.
But so I could be wrong, but maybe there's more on here. Even so, if it's one episode of 60 Minutes for $18, it seems like not the best.
Yeah.
Is it me, or there seem to be a lot of boys-themed releases this week? You got Black Nail Boy and Boys Choir and Boys Briefs 2 and a lot of boys hanging around here.
Showers. And
Yeah, I'm going to back up for a second to say I totally called it. Clicking on the Amazon link, that Spider-Man DVD is 12 minutes long.
No. Ouch. Not quite getting the bang for your buck
Not
there.
Not quite.
Wow.
It's more than a dollar a minute.
Especially if you can catch it on YouTube.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's move along here. Most any release sleeves on a DVD release. Look, Pretty Boy. There's another boy movie. Not a boy movie. It really sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
Let's see. How about Back 9?
That's good. All right, Mike.
Route to Glory.
All right, Eric.
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
That's fantastic. Man, I don't think I can do anything that even comes close to all three of those. I guess I'm going to have to go with All Action, No Filler.
Oh, jeez.
That's good.
This might be a soft release week, but it's got plenty of innuendo, my friends, plenty. Okay, let's go on to our ambush topic segments, where we just throw out some random topics that we ambush each other with. So, Mike, we're welcoming you back after a few weeks. Why don't you kick us off?
Well, since my dog has decided that his advent calendar for me this year is to leave little gifts of fecal matter in the house.
Nice.
Nanny McPhee, it's called.
Nanny McPhee. So I'm going to go with movies that have memorable moments of fecal matter.
Oh.
Poop. All right, I'm going to go with a movie that I may be the only person who hated because it was so popular. They even remade it, but Death at a Funeral. The British movie has and also apparently the American remake has a very, I guess I'll say memorable because I can't get it out of my brain, a scene where an old man poops on a guy's hand when he's trying to help him use
the toilet. Right. That's right.
Comedy. I know.
Is it played for laughs or is it?
Of course, the whole thing is played for.
Okay.
It's for laughs. I didn't laugh.
I don't know if it was like a touching moment of humanity and its vulnerability.
No. The guy kind of like collapses, like kind of falls down on the toilet because he's using a cane or something, and the guy's hand gets trapped underneath. It's kind of like 127 hours, but with poop.
There you go. There's a tagline I want to say.
127 hours. That's good.
Well, do I dare mention Pink Flamingos?
Oh wow, John Waters.
Yes. So do you dare?
If you've seen the movie, you know the scene in question. I really don't have to describe it. If you haven't seen the movie, then you're just not prepared for what awaits you.
Jeez.
Let's see, I will not say Schindler's List. I don't think that's appropriate. So I guess I'm just going to have to go with, all right, an awful movie. It's the stupid Playboy movie made by the guys who are the whitest kids you know. Miss March, yeah.
Right.
Just awful. One of my least favorite movies ever. And right up there with Vampire Suck, by the way, just as far as just gags that just do not work. And just this recurring gag over and over. Just one of these, this guy just moves his bowels over and over.
Oh, jeez.
Just poops, it just poops. And they do it once, and they do it twice. They think they may have done it a third time, so.
You know, three times is funny. That's just
that's true. Absolutely.
It's the rule of three for number two.
It's an awful movie. Awful.
Well, I'm going to tie mine back to our objection discussion, which I think was, what, number 10 or number 9? With the Team America World Police?
Yes, right, yes.
The pooping puppet? In the middle of sex.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, not to downplay anybody who may have specific fetishes that excite them, but pooping puppets was just kind of that line to cross. It was the Trey and Matt. They do it on South Park all the time. They kind of walk right up to that line and then they cross it.
Yes,
they poop on it.
They poop on it.
Very good. All right, I'll go next. In honor of the fantastic victory by the New York Knicks, movies that begin with a silent K.
Well, we just talked about Night and Day.
There you go. You jumped good. In. You had it. You hit the layup.
I'm trying to think of other night movies now.
Dark Knight doesn't count.
No, it does not.
Night, comma, the dark. Bonus points if you get one that doesn't use the word night.
How about Knowing with Nicolas Cage?
Good.
Oh,
well done. Good. Well good. Done.
Did anybody see that?
I did.
I did, yeah. I decided I'm still clinging desperately onto my Alex Proyas fandom.
Yeah, I'm with you. The ending was redonkulous in Knowing.
Yeah, well, the whole movie was kind of redonkulous.
It had one great scene of an airline crash, which was like generally terrifying. But after that, it was just Nicolas Cage's hair just could not be contained.
Okay, apparently there's a movie called Knock Knock.
Oh, that's good. That's
double
good.
Double K's.
That's right. That's like if we're playing Scattergores, you would have cleaned up.
Double word score.
That's right. Well, that brings to mind Knocked Up. Or
that'd be good. Yeah.
I was going to go with Knights of Bloodsteel, which is a movie I reviewed.
So, Dave, what was your topic going to be if the Knicks lost?
That's a good question. I don't know. I literally came up with that topic about 90 seconds ago. So,
Dave, you reviewed Knock Knock for the site.
No.
Yes.
One of the 2,000 that he can't possibly remember all of them.
What's that?
Another gory slasher movie that I have to review.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Knock, knock. I did review that. Look at that. We come full circle.
Any memories?
No. I got nothing. I conjure up zero about this movie. It was only in 2008, too. Jeez.
Someone's getting old.
Maybe I didn't even watch it. You might have to deal with that fact,
Don't
Mike.
Say
I didn't
that.
Watch it.
Just read the back of the
there's
box.
A topic we should go through. How many people on the staff actually don't watch the movies they're reviewing?
We don't want to go there.
We should save this for off mic.
That's a sensitive topic. That is a sensitive topic. Okay, here we go. This is proof that I watched this movie. The prime suspect is a mentally challenged weirdo who likes to play with naked Barbie dolls and looks a lot like Viv from Spinal Tap. So.
So it was a Sid Barrett documentary?
Oh, man. All right. Eric, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. Well, in based loosely on the very literal minded scenes from the Lennon Naked movie, my topic is junk.
Yes,
doesn't nice. Now I don't actually literally whatever any use of that word you'd like.
Good. I like that open-ended junk. Yeah.
Well, Sanford and Son started out as a whole junkyard theme, but then they kind of ditched it as the series went on.
Really? What did they do? I I'm not.
I mean, it just kind of became a. It was the set that they used. I mean, he lived in a junkyard, but there was all these other wacky things that they got into,
like space travel.
Family Matters,
things like blood drives, and you know, weird '70s kind of topical humor stuff. It was really.
Jonathan Harris showed up at their door as the movie producer, wanted to make a movie. About him.
I love that. I love those. Man, I was just. This reminds me of Mr. Ed season 4, which I had reviewed. Oh. And I mean, that whole show was one elongated like gimmick, obviously. But the first episode of season 4, Mr. Ed hits a home run off of Sandy Koufax. If that's not the greatest sequence ever,
ratings grabber for you.
So Mr. Ed actually inspired Air Bud in all those movies.
Apparently,
there you go.
Oh, I guess also that mule that kicked field goals.
Francis the Talking Mule.
There you go. That's right. A sub-ambush topic. Let's get back to mine.
In The Man with a Golden Gun, right? Wasn't Christopher Lee's character there? You know, Scaramanga.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like the ship, like a Chinese junk, was his ship that he was sailing on? Because that's a type of ship, Chinese junk, and that's so like Hector Vivera or whatever.
Ivichev, whatever.
He had all these little compartments in there.
Yes, because he could, and that was the whole finale. The
fight, because Roger Moore was banging some chick, and then he sticks out of a little.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah,
it's Chinese junk all modified to accommodate a little person.
But that was also the same movie that had the Queen Mary or whatever, the ship that was sunk in Hong Kong, and that was the British base where everything was all like half at 45 degree angles, and that was their secret base. The command center, everything was what they're walking around in these 45 degree angles because it was supposed to be some super secret.
Your government,
genius, guys. Exactly. Genius.
We'll save the taxpayers' money here.
Mac, right? Yeah, let's see. Junk. Uh-huh.
Well, I know one that I would, for you, that's well tuned for you.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, now I'm.
Television series. That has nothing to do with the title of the movie it's based on, that you like.
I have no idea where you're going. I don't know. There was that TV show Junkyard Wars. Remember that?
That's true.
There's a game show. People would go out in the junkyard and build stuff and then, like, build vehicles and race them. That's kind of
I know where Dave's going with this.
Oh, you
Friday
do.
Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah.
A lot of junk in that pawn shop?
Well, it was an antique store. So I guess in the general sense, you could consider it junk, yeah.
One man's trash, right? Another man's treasure.
See, I thought you were going for a Star Wars reference.
Oh, the trash compactor. You know, with the Dianoga.
Yeah. There you go. The Dianoga appears in the Friday filibuster.
Seriously, that was the character? That was that thing's name?
Yes.
And the Geekrometer rises into a festive red and green. We love getting the Dianoga some airtime here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, mine, I'm going to go to Labyrinth. The movie Labyrinth.
Yes.
There's a scene where Sarah is. She thinks she looks like she's back in her room, and there's this lady with a big pile of junk on her back, is telling her that this is her room and this is all her stuff, and she doesn't have to worry about finding her brother anymore. And then it all, just dissolves into a big pile of junk, and she's in this big junk pile of junk.
All right.
And he has junk.
And there's like the old bag lady Muppet there that's like
piling
junk up on top of Sarah.
Yeah. She's got this huge like actually on her back, it's all built up. It's kind of a cool effect.
Hey, what about Fraggle Rock, right? Was that like a talking junk pile?
Yeah, well, a trash heap.
Trash heap.
Yeah. So it's a precursor to all this hoarders thing that we're talking about now.
The reality series.
All right. So, Mac, we'll wrap us up here. What do you got?
All right. This should be an easy one. Mayhem on Motorcycles.
Man, is this the third straight week I need to talk about Silver Dream Racer?
If there's anyone out there who doesn't know the end of Silver Dream Racer,
don't want it spoiled.
Again. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, really, you really boxed me into a corner here, Mac. How am I supposed? You guys go ahead. I'll do my best. Silver Dream Racer.
Wasn't there a classic black and white MST3K episode about bikers?
Well, there was the fantastic Warrior of the Lost World where
it
was like successful. 50s.
Rebel set? No.
Was that the one, Rebel?
I don't know. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I can't remember.
It's a Joel called. Episode.
Yeah. It's like season 2 or 3, 4, maybe. Or maybe the first half of 5. I don't remember.
keep
going. We'll give it to you anyway, Mike. We'll give it to
you.
Well,
I'm going to look it up. You guys keep going.
Nice.
Oh, there's another Mystery Science Theater episode. Oh, it's not a movie. Wait, did you say movie? You didn't say movie. You just said Motorcycle Mayhem.
You're right.
Okay. Well, you actually said motorcycles, so this is dirt bikes. It may not work. But in one of the Master Ninja movie experiments in Mystery Science Theater, there's a whole sequence where Timothy Van Patten is racing dirt bikes. Pretty sure there was some mayhem involved.
A little bit of mayhem there.
Yeah. May or may not have involved Lee Van Cleef and his gerbil.
What was his name?
The name of the character?
No, the actor.
Timothy Van Patten? Or the other guy? The Master Ninja?
Master Ninja, yeah.
That was Lee Van Cleef.
Lee Van Cleef, that's right, yeah. And did his stuntman jump into action during the motorcycle race?
Probably. I think that was the only segment of those movies that didn't involve some union trying to shut down a corporation.
Ah, Side Hackers, of course.
Yes. I remember that one. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, I will spare you Silver Dream Racer. So if you want to know about Silver Dream Racer, just tune into any of the episodes. I think I even talked about an objection. So I can't get Silver Dream Racer out of my head. It really messed me up. But I'm going to go with a movie that I reviewed called Motocross Zombies from Hell.
Nice.
You wish it was nice. 2008.
Okay.
You know, you wish it was nice. How? I mean, but you don't get any of it. I mean, from a movie called Motocross Zombies from Hell, there's just very little motocross zombies doing hellish things, unfortunately. So
that's too bad. It's like with a title like that, it's kind of a no fail.
We need to go back to the idea of group staff writing for screenplays where we can come up with awesome ideas.
That's right. I mean, really, this thing would write itself. You think?
I know.
They just don't. They just drop the ball and don't even. You know, they don't even give you any zombies on dirt bikes, and it's just lame. So
okay.
How hard is
it? When the new site launches, I'm going to use my extra time, and we're going to set up a production company.
Yes.
And start writing.
Good. Make it happen.
Good, because I think Carbon Dating needs a home.
That's right.
The vampire gymnastics movie, we think, needs a home.
Perfect.
We could call it Silver Dream Racer Productions.
How about just SDR production? We don't want to incur any copyrights.
I mean, it's really just essentially three random words put together, right?
You'd think that, but I think we've gotten in trouble for less.
All right, Mac, what did you have?
All right, well, a classic episode, well, I don't know classic, but a memorable episode of Amazing Stories from the 80s had to do with a mummy, or rather a guy dressed up like a mummy, but basically the mummy. Wandering around. A plot point had to do with the mummy making his escape. He actually got into the back of a motorcycle and drove off.
The mummy did?
Yes, the mummy actually drove a motorcycle to escape from the people chasing him.
Absolutely.
So that image right there of the mummy just tooling down the road on the motorcycle, I mean, you know, how awesome is that? That's like greater than 10 Super Bowls. I mean,
that's right. That's right. Mummy on a... At least they put the mummy on the motorcycle. I mean... It's better than we can say about zombies doing motocross. You know?
It was a guy dressed as a mummy.
That's true, yes.
Spoiler
alert.
Sorry.
He was dressed as the mummy, but he couldn't talk, so everyone thought he was the mummy.
Gotcha. In the episode also had...
The real mummy does show up, though.
That's a spoiler.
That totally is.
Totally. Actually, the episode had Bronson Pinchot in it as a director.
Nice.
And it was directed by William Deere, who went on to direct Harry and the Hendersons.
I don't know if the geek barometer rising, but the completely useless trivia barometer is rising.
Hold on. Let me find IMDb. The key grip on that episode.
That's right. Well, congratulations, Mac. I've gone like about 6 years now without thinking of Harry and the Hendersons. Now I've got to think about it again.
What a great movie.
Now it's on Netflix Instant Watch.
It is.
Oh, man. I might have to go after Firestorm.
That's right. Well, I think that wraps up this edition, and thank you for mentioning that, Eric, because I believe next week or thereabouts, that means next week or after like next month, but you know, next week or thereabouts, we plan to have for you a very Firestorm Christmas, and that's where the Filibuster crew will get together, much like we did with Troll 2. We'll sit down and we'll view Firestorm with you, like, yeah, you know, in front of a roaring fire perhaps. So curl with your beloved on a couch on the bearskin rug and watch Firestorm with us. And we'll get you in the Yuletide spirit. But for now, thank you for tuning in to our...
Hey, don't forget to plug your book, dude.
If you're just a little stocking stuffer, I've pulled together some of my favorite reviews of some of the god-awful movies, a few of which have been mentioned on this very podcast.
Uh-huh.
Miss March and Motocross Zombies from Hell are part of that little anthology, and just pulled it together. Little shout-out to DVD Verdict. $10. It's on Amazon. I'm sure my beloved editor-in-chief here is going to have that pinned on the front page
we
very
will
soon.
The heck out of it, because all the proceeds go to Bridget's college fund.
That's true. All the proceeds go to my daughter's college fund, for sure. Absolutely. And I figured what better way to prepare for college than with Xbox 360 games. And again, and a big thank you to Eric Astroslager, who designed a killer cover.
There you go.
Fantastic cover. So, you know, definitely just my thanks to that. So, yeah, just a little fun side thing. So, yeah, $10, a little stocking stuffer. Help a brother out. So FridayFilibuster@DVDVerdict.com is our email. Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster is a Facebook page. And with that, Mr. Mac McIntyre, take us away.
You'll shoot your eye out.